which will enter briefly to our new environmental justice curriculum for congregations. Thanks to all of you for participating, and also to Ohio Meadville District for hosting. Next slide, please. So, UU Ministry for Earth. As most of you know, the UU Ministry for Earth, and also professionally known as UMFE, UUMFE, is a national level environmental organization for UU. We've been around for over 20 years, and we're the ones who developed and managed the very popular and successful Green Sanctuary program. Since shifting that program to the UUA in 2008, we have focused most of our efforts on environmental justice, including producing extensive Earth Day materials and resources and the Environmental Justice Green Papers, which can be accessed on our website, as well as this new environmental justice curriculum. Our mission is to connect and inspire an active community of UUs for environmental justice, spiritual renewal, and shared reverence for our Earth home. A big part of that mission is to help congregations connect the dots between the environment and justice, and we hope that this new resource will further the conversation. The curriculum was made possible by two matching grants from the UU funding program. The UU Ministry of Earth members and supporters donated the matching funds, and then we were able to hire Mark and Pam to develop the materials, and as you can see, they did a fantastic job. Why are we on the call today? Well, we're very excited about sharing the new curriculum, and this session will help get the word out. We want to introduce you to the curriculum and help you think about how you might program it into your church's or district's work.
Jeff Sanders.
Any questions you may have, and of course, we hope that you will become as excited as we are. Here's a quick review of our agenda for today and the logistics of the call. In just a few minutes, Mark and Pam will review the curriculum objectives and walk through the basic components and format. Then we will give you facts about how to obtain the materials and about additional upcoming webinars. And when we're through with that, we'll devote around 30 minutes to a question and answer session, and then we'll close and recap the main points. And as Beth said, if you have questions during the call, you may email them to her through the chat room function on the screen. And Beth will be keeping track of and moderate the question and answer session. We thank you so much. So who is here on the call? We were expecting around 60 people, but I don't think we quite made it there. And hopefully they will be joining us as we go along. People signed up from all around the country, some from congregations, some at the district level, some in other capacities with different UU groups. And we had over 50 for this webinar in September. Boy, that's a lot of folks interested in environmental justice, and we're very glad that you have joined us here today.
Jerry Aird.
Now I'd like to formally introduce you to Mark and Pam. Next slide.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark Hicks, and I'm the Angus McLean Professor of Religious Education at Meadville Lombard Theological School in Chicago, Illinois.
And hi, everyone. My name is Pamela Spar. I'm serving as an environmental justice consultant to you, MFE, and along with Mark, developed the curriculum. And I'm here in the Washington, D.C. area.
Great. Thank you, Mark and Pam. As a way of helping us form a virtual community and center ourselves for the rest of the conversation, I'd like to invite us all to read together from the UU hymnal, reading number 434. So if you will join me in unison, may we be reminded of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected
in mystery and miracle
to the universe, this community, and to each other. Amen, and may it be so.
Well, again, welcome, everyone. We're very, very excited that you are with us this afternoon to begin having a conversation about how, in your particular congregation, you can begin to connect the work of environmentalism with that of social justice. We have an idea that most people probably know a great deal about sustainability and are eager to do their part to lessen the destruction of our Earth's resources. And we also know that that people understand how social oppression works, and how it works to build up walls that divide our human family, particularly along the lines of race and ethnicity and class. Pam and I have... phenomenon.
Mark lost you. Mark? All right, I'm not sure what's happened to Mark's audio. Pam, can you pick up for a minute?
Certainly, I will. Be happy to. So as Mark was saying, that we've been working with congregations across the country on both of these issues. And what we see and what I think the UMFE board has also identified is that many congregations who are really strong on issues of the environment don't necessarily make the connection between what they're doing to anything that their congregation might be doing related to racism, ethnicity, class, working on building the beloved community. And likewise, many of the congregations that are working to become more multicultural, to do work related to building the beloved community, may not be making the connections in their education and in their justice ministries to how those issues show up when we're talking about sustainability, the seventh principle, and environmental issues. So what we're trying to do in this curriculum is to knit those two pieces together. And as Martin Luther King Jr. said, to help us all better understand what affects one person affects us all. And what Audre Lorde has talked about is that there's no hierarchy among oppressions, that we need to be working on them all in a holistic way together. So the goal of our environmental justice curriculum is not only to help us all create a more vibrant and stronger community of beloveds, but also to establish new practices that enable to help us all become more fully human. What we're trying to do in the curriculum is to merge these two worlds together and to look at how racial ethnic identity, one's economic position, and other aspects of our identity connect with how we are in the world and how
we
might... Pardon me? Live out the seventh principle in a very inspiring and robust way. So, again, we want to, through the curriculum, help congregations not simply talk about the injustice of it all, but to learn new practices that will enable us to help do our part to bring about the kind of world that we dream about all the time. So this curriculum is meant to serve as an introduction to environmental justice and to be a starting point in a larger project of UUMFE supporting congregational environmental justice work through various educational tools and services. And we've designed the curriculum based on your experiences and feedback that we've gotten from six congregations that have tested a pilot of this curriculum. This is meant to be the first installment, and it's meant to kind of get a discussion rolling in your congregation. It is very highly participatory, and we hope creates a great deal of excitement to learn and to do more based on your congregation's interests and capacities. And a little later on, we're going to hear from Ellen, who tested the pilot, as she said, in her congregation in Reston, Virginia last year. But let's take a look now at the seven basic objectives of the curriculum. Could we have that slide, please, Beth? Thank you very much. So here are the seven basic objectives or aims. One is to deepen our understanding of place. And by that, we mean place and all the different senses of that term. Where your congregation fits physically in the world in terms of its geographic location, its biological place in an ecosystem, but also where it is in place in terms of socially in your community and as part of a larger world. And what does that mean for all the different kinds of interdependent relationships that you're a part of that comprise life on this earth? A second objective is to help deepen all of our connections and understanding of UU theology related to environmental justice, to help us explore new or deepen already existing spiritual practices that we may be engaged in that can help us do this work, and also to look at what might be some new ways that we can live out our vision and our values as UUs in our communities in partnering with others to do the work of environmental justice. A third objective related to that is to enable you to have a very kind of concrete map and understanding of what your congregation's impact is in your local community and actually beyond your local community, and actually also how others' environmental footprints affect your congregation and your local community. So building the web out in two different ways. Can we have
Hi, Pam. I'm back into the room again.
Fantastic. So you want to pick us up on slide?
Sure. I'll go for this next section. Our fourth objective is to build a sense of group consciousness within the congregation around the ethics of your congregation's relationship with disenfranchised populations. One of the things that we know often occurs in Unitarian Universalist settings is that we tend to have an inward look in terms of who we are and what are our concerns. And what we want to do in this curriculum is to really open people up and give them an opportunity to build some partnerships outside of the congregation with disenfranchised populations that are being impacted by environmental concerns. The next piece, the fifth aim that we have, is to actually give you a chance to reinforce your congregation's identity by engaging in a discussion about something that matters to you, obviously environmentalism and social justice, what values you hold in common, and how you might be able to act on those values once you as a group, as a community, have done that. And the last piece that we think is very important is the fact that we do need to do social justice work. We all know that there are very serious issues that are out there, but we wanted to create a curricular experience that is lively, that uses creative methods, and also gives the congregation, in a sense, to be able to do this in a way that doesn't feel overly daunting, that people can actually have fun in the process of discovery around these serious topics and being able to move from there. So to actually make the work something that feels doable as opposed to just simply daunting and depressing. Pam?
Mark, great. Can we have the next slide, please? And Mark, why don't you do this one since we've missed you for a while?
Sure, no problem at all. So just a little bit about the audience for the curriculum. It's appropriate for congregations of all sizes. It does not make any assumptions about prior experience with environmental or racial justice work. And so one of the things that you would need to do as a facilitator is to sort of be aware of where your congregation is around that area. And so if you have a group of people that are seasoned environmentalists, you probably would want to do some tweaking or to frame things in a particular way. But what it also means is that you can use this curriculum as a great launching pad for your congregation if you've not engaged at all in any kind of social justice or sustainability work before. It can be an excellent next step for those congregations that do have experience, that have been dealing with these issues for a while, and also people, for example, that have been doing work, let's say you've been doing Building the World We Dream About. I suggest that you do that, but also justice work, the Jubilee work. And so if you've been doing that work, this is a great way to sort of switch the conversation in a way that might enrich your understanding. And for those congregations, actually, that are working toward green sanctuary certifications, or even if you already have it, this curriculum we have discovered can be a nice kickstart or a way to revitalize or to deepen where you are in terms of that journey. As educators in designing this, we have been very sensitive to the idea that this curriculum offers an opportunity for you to deepen your work and do it in a way that is definitely ongoing and is not just sort of a one-off event. It provides, again, a structured play to dialogue, to collaborate, to deepen or create ties to people in your community. We can go to the next slide. So the curriculum consists of four different units, each of which takes about 2 hours to complete. So for those congregations that might need to take this in shorter time bites, one of the things that we've done in the appendix of the curriculum is to provide some alternative game plans. So if your congregation, for example, works around an adult education model where you work in one-hour segments, there are ways in which you can apply this toward your culture there. It's designed using some of the best practices of transformative learning, meaning learning that's not just about acquiring new skills and insights, the consciousness-raising work that we often do, but also learning that has the potential to shift the way that people think, feel, and act. So we want this curriculum, again, not to be simply about getting new data, new information, but thinking about how do you take that information and to make it real, to do something different in the world. And so we use a variety of different teaching and learning strategies through music and poetry, drawing, movement for those who learn best through some kinesthetic ways. In each unit includes some theological reflection pieces, diverse spiritual practices, and people have the ability really to actually engage in a very, very practical way through these exploratory exercises. Be aware that we have designed some homework assignments between each of these particular units. So that you would need to alert people that they might have some things that they would need to do or to observe between the times that you're together. And sometimes people will be working alone as individuals, sometimes in small groups and as a large community. We are very, very excited for people to think about this as an opportunity to do some intergenerational work in your congregation. And so we say that anyone really probably from, I guess, probably around the age of 15 on up would be a perfect group to participate in this exercise. Pam?
Great. Thanks, Mark. Let's go on now and review, kind of walk you through the basics of each session and how the curriculum is structured. Could we have the next slide, please? Great. On session one. So in session one, we're starting off by a few exercises to help and discussion to help everyone feel that they're part of a community and to build some cohesion. This is also where we launch the discussion of place and enable the group that you've gathered to celebrate where they live and that your particular place in this world. We also will be talking there in session one about the connections between your identity, your sense of place, your values, and what that might mean for environmental justice based on that. There's going to be a video that you'll see that helps that part of the conversation. The homework assignment for that first session is going to be geared to a very hopefully fun and easy way to assess and reflect on the role of accumulation and consumption in each individual person's life. That will then be falling and the reporting back of that reflection process in session two, when we look at beginning to unpack what do we mean by environmental justice and where do we get stuck. In session two, we're going to look at what do we say our values are individually and as the UUs, and what is our real impact on the planet, and how much do our values mirror our impact on the planet. We're going to look at the role of psychological, spiritual, and cultural influences on our consumption, again, with a really great and lively video. We're going to be looking at some of the issues such as competition, the notion that we all need to we live in a society and an economy that very much reinforces and emphasizes efficiency and consumption. What does it mean, or how connected or disconnected might we be to the natural world around us and to people in our community? We're going to explore a little bit about the spiritual and theological dimensions of why environmental justice work is important, and then that session concludes with launching some homework, the major part of the homework for the curriculum, which relates to looking at your congregation's impact on six different areas in terms of six different aspects of the natural world, such as your use of water, such as your use of energy, food and land and garbage, the waste you produce. And you'll be forming small research teams. If you're in a small congregation, some of the field testers just chose a few of the issues. They decided not to pursue all six. So that's totally up to your congregation and your group, how many of those you want to do. And again, people will be doing that in teams, and we have various tip sheets and questions that each team that will guide each team's exploration. And that exploration can involve, and hopefully will, reaching out to a variety of different groups of people, businesses, nonprofit groups, community groups, perhaps certain government officials, to find out some of the answers to those questions. And then in session three, if we can have that slide, you'll see that participants begin to report on the research they've done in those six areas. And you'll be doing it in a what we think is a very fun and powerful way, because literally you will be drawing a picture, a mural, or a map to document what you've learned, and also begin to document the connections between who is affected, who is involved, and the impacts. Again, you'll be tracing out your impact not only on other human beings, but also on the natural world, and start a discussion about, okay, in looking at this map, where do we see brokenness? What kind of brokenness do we see? And what does that mean in terms of what might kind of be an ethical reflection about what of this brokenness are we feeling called upon to address and heal? So that if you look at slide the next slide just briefly, which is a picture of this mapping. This is an example of the mapping, the AHA process that we did in our church here at All Souls. You'll see our church there a little bit on the right, and a third of our energy use, this is the part of the map related to our energy use, comes from coal. And so you'll see the mountains over there in terms of looking at mountaintop removal and the fact that much of our electricity comes from coal and coal from Appalachia, and what that means for the lives of mining communities and various water systems in terms of the economic well-being of those communities, their health, and the health of the ecosystems around there. Moving on to the next slide, session four, you finish up the mural drawing process and reflect on, well, what have you learned? What have you decided is kind of where the brokenness is and what you might feel called to do based on your identity as you use your values and ethics? And how do you want to share what you've learned and what you might feel called to do next? And reflecting on what does it mean to be accountable to yourself, to the larger world, including especially the people and the lives that you are affecting by the choices that you've made and the natural resources that you have used. And also, how do we respond spiritually to what we've learned, and how do we want to be more faithfully with each other and with the larger world? Again, this unit is meant to be a launch pad for a lot of work, and we found that some of the different congregations that have used this have then proceeded to move forward in different ways based on their own inspiration and where they are particularly in the web of life. Certainly there's plenty of work to be done. And I think now what we'll do is you'll see on this next slide some testimonials, but since Ellen is with us, Ellen, would you like to kind of share a little bit about how you used the pilot curriculum and what kind of work that launched in your community?
Yes, I will be happy to. Those testimonials are from three of the six congregations that piloted the draft module, and that was in the spring of 2010. And the third one is the one from my church. Those are my words. And to say that we were enthusiastic about the curriculum is a bit of an understatement. Our group of 10 has been meeting since 2007, mainly doing all the Northwest Earth Institute discussion courses. And, you know, we thought we had learned a lot and we knew a lot. But through looking at environmental issues through a justice lens, this curriculum took us to a whole new level. The mapping exercise in particular was a very powerful learning tool. I had never done anything like that before, and I was not expecting the effect it had on everyone. You know, you could almost see the light bulb switching on. We also really liked the readings. We also liked the variety of elements in each session, from the music to the readings to videos, to special exercise and that wonderful mapping experience. It all helped to tie everything in just beautifully. So partly inspired by what we learned through this curriculum, our congregation undertook a major re-landscaping project when our new addition was complete. We installed several wildlife friendly native plant gardens, corrected drainage problems on our slope property, and created a fabulous permaculture garden to share with the community. This garden will become a pickup stop for the farmers market gleaning team from the Reston Interfaith Group, which delivers fresh produce to the local farmers shelter all summer long. So we'll add that part of the field test was giving feedback to Pam and Mark on improving the final version that we have now. And you learned today that the curriculum consists of 4 2-hour sessions. The draft module was 2 2-hour sessions covering the same material. And although I didn't see the evaluations from the other five congregations, I have a feeling that they all said that there just wasn't enough time to talk about what we were experiencing. So thank you, Pam and Mark, for doubling the number of sessions in this final version to accommodate that most basic of our UU needs, sharing with each other. So if we can have the next slide, please. We'll talk a little bit about logistics for the curriculum. First, when will it be ready and how can you get it? Well, it will be ready on November 1st, and we will let all of you know by email. It will be available to download from the UU Ministry for Earth website, which is uuministryforearth.org. You just click on the resources tab, and the very first item is a link to the curriculum page. And actually, if you go there now, as Beth mentioned before, you can download a PDF of these same slides that you're seeing today. And you can also download the questions and answers from the September webinar. And as soon as we can, we'll post the questions and answers from today's session. So I'm sure that you will have questions once you see the materials and will want to contact us. And even, you know, when you're actually presenting it, you may need to contact us. What we will do is have a team of Ministry for Earth members at the ready to assist you, and myself included. And we'll just want you to send an email to our office, which is office@uuministryforearth.org. And Sabrina, our office administrator, will forward your request to one of us, and we'll get right back to you. We're also planning three coaching webinars early in 2002 for curriculum facilitators, and that should be very, very useful. And we will be communicating with all of you by email as soon as details become available. Now back to Mark.
Thank you so much, Ellen. We really appreciate the work that you all are doing and making all of this happen. Let's see here. I guess it's time now for questions and answers from people who are participating by phone. What is our process?
I'm going to ask that if you can type your question into the chat box on the thing, that might be the easiest way to handle it so we don't have six or seven people trying to talk at once. I actually have two already that I've picked up from there. And if you don't see your question or hear your question answered and you need to ask it, we can, because you can't get to the chat box, that's fine. So I'll start with the two questions that I saw pop up. And the first one is, what is the source of the videos? Were they created for this course, or are they from other sources?
Mark, do you want to handle that one?
Sure. Both of those things are true. There are some that we have pulled from environmental justice resources that sort of help to contextualize things in a larger setting. Particularly one that we found was very helpful was called The Story of Stuff, which is a very clever animation, a guided animation that is done that helps people really to contextualize what happens to the things that you buy on a day-to-day basis, including some work around the spiritual dimensions of that. In addition, we were very fortunate to be able to work with some of our people in the UU world who are both theologians as well as who do a lot of interfaith work in environmental justice movement. So Claire Butterfield, who is in charge of Faith in Place in Illinois, and she has been working with about 700 congregations across the dimensions in terms of how do they respond to both environmental and injustice work. And also Mike Hogue, who's a professor of theology, who has helped us also to think about what are sort of the theological implications of environmental justice and how do we think about those things in more intense ways. And so those podcasts that have been professionally produced and will be available as part of the curriculum, you'll be able to download those from probably from Vimeo is the source that we will probably use. Okay.
All right, the next question I had is, if someone made an observation that there seems to be considerable overlap with Green Sanctuary activities.
Shall I take that one, or Ellen, would you
sure.
like to take that?
Go ahead, Pam, and then I'll follow up.
Okay. So this is actually designed to meet a need that the board discovered, that a lot of congregations going for Green Sanctuary status had some difficulty really grappling with what environmental justice meant, and particularly what does environmental justice mean in their particular context in terms of doing projects in the community. And so for congregations that are going for green sanctuary status, this could be a really helpful tool for discovering and deciding what some projects might be to help you get green sanctuary certification. And for those who, for example, may already have that certification, this could be a way to deepen your work and continue it on related to environmental justice in a more potentially systematic and strategic way over a longer period of time. So, Ellen,
so
do you want to elaborate?
The Green Sanctuary Program was one of the big reasons that we decided to apply for the grants and develop this resource. As when we gifted it to the UUA in 2008, we were trying to figure out what we were going to do in our next life, and decided to focus on environmental justice just because so many congregations had trouble coming up with really good projects to fulfill that part of the certification process. So we feel like that this curriculum is just an ideal thing for all congregations to go through, whether they're going for Green Sanctuary or not, to really to get their minds in the relationship between justice and the environment.
Okay. And someone made an observation in the chat that their congregation's been certified Green Sanctuary since 2008, and they are wanting to write a new congregational statement of commitment. And in their opinion, it looks like this curriculum could bring more people into the process across all committees and generations. So there would be a potential use and connection to the Green Sanctuary program.
Wonderful. That sounds excellent. And indeed, I think Mark and I and Alan and the rest of the board are helping that this can be a way to bring and knit together all these different pieces of work in congregations that often, too often, are siloed.
Mm-hmm.
And I will add and reinforce Mark and Pam's statements about this being an excellent intergenerational exercise. Especially at the teenage level and above, and maybe even younger children. I think that the way the materials are presented is lively enough to keep young people's interest, and I just really highly recommend it. Our group is all adults, but I remember people commenting that we wish that we could expand the tent and include some young people in our congregation. And for this final module, I have a feeling that we're going to want to do it again and create a whole new map, and we definitely will do it intergenerational.
Mm-hmm. Before I ask the next question, I want to state that someone typed into the chat box right while we were doing the overview at the beginning of the webinar that they'd like more specifics. I'm hoping that probably in the course of the rest of the presentation you got those specifics, but if you didn't, if you would please repost that, what specifically you were looking for, that would be helpful. The next question is it helpful to change facilitators for each session or just use one?
I'll take that. In this construction, I really believe in community building and bringing in alternative points of view. If we were to think about myself and Pam, we both have very strong interest in the things that we have, and the way in which if you have more than one facilitator, it doesn't become the curriculum and the discussion doesn't become the point of view of one person. And if you have two people, it really helps to keep it interesting and also lively and appropriate for multiple voices. You could use a strategy where you had different facilitators for each of the session. If you did that, I would say that you would need to take extra care to make sure that you are creating a very coherent bridge between each session. And I would also say that you would probably need to require those four facilitators essentially would have to be there for all four of the sessions. You just have to know what's been said and what connections people are making. Pam, anything you'd add to that?
No, I think you've covered it well, Mark.
Okay.
Okay.
Next question.
For the congregations that have run the program, I'm assuming they're saying Green Sanctuary, can you characterize on a scale of 1 to 10 how much the program addresses social justice versus environmentalism green?
Well, I'll take that one.
Okay.
I don't see a versus there. It's all interconnected. There's strong elements of both. We're using the different aspects of environmental issues, the six different things, and looking at them through a justice lens, and that is consistent throughout the curriculum. There is some fun stuff that's light, but as you go through it, you definitely start beginning to connect the dots between the two versuses, if you want to look at it that way.
Okay. The next question is, our congregation is already a green sanctuary. In fact, our recent renovation won an Energy Star rating, so we feel ahead of this particular curriculum. Our congregation is growing and wants to know how to take this into the congregation in terms of individuals and their own homes and families.
So, start and Mark? So, I'm in a congregation, for example, that has been a green sanctuary for a while. I think the question I would ask is how much congregation doing on racial justice matters, or how much your congregation is working to address poverty and make justice issues. And I think this curriculum in part would encourage you to move more in those areas and to strengthen that work. I find in our congregation, for example, the folks who've done a lot of work on sustainability in terms of energy audits or water quality audits, if you ask them, don't necessarily know how to relate that to environmental justice work. So actually engaging in this curriculum might help those kinds of folks who are more focused on the nuts and bolts of certain kind of technical aspects of sustainability, strengthen their perception and their understanding of how to link that work with the work of bringing a more beloved community to life where they live.
I'll add to that. One of the things that we hope this curriculum does also is to take this work and really make it personal with another community in your area. So, for example, as you do your energy audit and look at the impact of your energy choices, in our particular congregation, we began to realize that people on the other side of the river, the Anacostia, were being affected in terms of issues of air quality and health, cancer, those kinds of things. And so a discussion opened up. It's like, okay, it's not just about our individual purposes, but what obligation do we now have to those human beings that we can see their faces and their smiles and we know who they are? What obligation do we have to work with them in order to address issues of asthma or cancer in that community that is a part of our community? And so, again, when we were saying at the beginning, what we hope this does is to get us outside of an inward view of what this issue is and to think about the justice aspect of, while it may be good on our side of the street, what are we doing to people who live on the other side of the street? And I know who those people are. I can give you their names. And how do we respond to that?
Okay. Someone asked, we're just beginning to form a committee to run the Green Sanctuary program. Can this curriculum be used as part of that process, or will we run it separately or run it after?
Ellen, do you want to take that one?
Sure. I think that this curriculum would be a great introduction to the people on the committee and the people that you in your congregation that you will be drawing into the process. When you go through the Green Sanctuary program, you really involve the entire congregation with the elements of worship and celebration, particularly in the religious education part of it. So this could actually, I think, would be a great religious education program to include in your action plan. I would recommend doing it, you know, during your Green Sanctuary process rather than waiting for afterwards, because I think it will open a lot of people's eyes.
And I think it would also help inform your action plan, no?
Yes.
And another observation, we have found people withdrawing from discussions of sustainability and environmental justice. They say they are saturated and have already made home changes, etc.
I'll take a first crack, and then Mark and Ellen, you may want to add your perspectives. This is just a guess. Sometimes my sense of saturation is because people get overloaded either with bad news about the environment or get overloaded with thinking that there's only so much they can do personally in with respect to their home or their choices about their lives. I think Mark and I have been trying to be pretty careful to also have a strong thread in it about spiritual nurture and what, how are the choices we're making and how are we living our lives in a way, how can we alter that in order to nurture ourselves so that we don't feel oversaturated or so we don't feel overwhelmed and instead feel more alive because we are more deeply connected with other people and in our community doing some very concrete and positive things. Also, I think, well, I'll stop there, and Mark and Ellen, why don't you chime in too?
Ellen, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Well, I think all of us get discouraged, all of us in the social justice and environmental justice field get discouraged every once in a while, but I'm a glass half full person. I always try to see the bright side and share that hope and enthusiasm with other people.
And just to add to this, another element that we really want to encourage, again, we can say this word again and again and again, is partnership and collaboration. And we find that in most social movements that the way that people get inspired and begin to do the kind of institutional, structural changes that needs to happen is when they do have strong communities of accountability. And we think that that's one of the pieces that really is different, I believe, about this approach, is that it really asks you to think about to whom are you accountable and what does that look like. And maybe that accountability may not only be within your congregation but with other communities and other groups. Which I suspect for many of our congregations would be a different type of business.
Okay. I've got a couple comments that follow up on this. Some people have been posting comments on this topic. One person stated that the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment states 60% of ecosystem function is in decline, and no one should rest until all understand the gravity of this and how we're not separate but very interconnected. The environmental ethic we need must include everyone. And a second person, and you guys might want to comment on this, we in the Bible Belt have found that an effective way to reach poverty is through the churches. We in the upstate of South Carolina have had group meetings with other churches to trade ideas on how to implement sustainable practices throughout our communities.
Oh, I'd say amen to both of those things, and that's a fantastic example of a way to revitalize that. A lot of people are saying that probably the faith community is the one that is most poised to do the big level social kind of change. And so I think it's a great idea to even think about a couple of congregations coming together to do this curriculum, since you all are in the same local area. So if you have that footprint in terms of a collective, then I think that would be a great idea. Love it.
And I would say that this curriculum could be shared with other churches in your community, especially if you have an interfaith organization. Just let people know that it's available, and maybe even offer a joint to partner with another church to offer it together.
Excellent. Yeah, it could be a great way of building stronger bridges. And in fact, the National Council of Churches, which is the umbrella organization for over 60 Protestant denominations, has asked us when we're ready if they can advertise it to all of the denominations and the congregations that are part of their eco-justice network. So publicity about this curriculum will be going out to other congregations through the National Council of Churches as well. So other congregations may be hearing about it too.
I see one final question, and that is, how can we get the material? And we've already addressed that. It will be available November 1st, correct?
Yes. On the UU Ministry for Earth website, you'll be able to download everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see if anybody else has a question. They can pop it up there, but I don't see any more activity in the chat box going on right now. So I guess we've answered everyone's questions. Again, we will. The slides have already been posted. A PDF of the slides has already been posted to the UUMFE website. We did that after the September webinar. We have audio recorded this one, and I will be sending that off to the appropriate folks to have that posted as well. And there's also the questions from the first webinar, and I assume you guys will be answering these questions as well and posting that document too. So if anyone has any final comments?
I think Ellen has some closing
comments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we really had a great session. Thank you all so much for participating, and we're happy to receive your feedback. I've seen some in the chat room already. Again, if you'd like to contact us, just shoot us an email. Remember, the curriculum will be available to download on November 1st, and we will send you, we'll be keeping in touch with you by email and letting you know what's going on. And again, you can go there now to get more information and download these slides that you've seen and the questions and answers and the audio, too. So watch for Phase 2 webinars early next year, where we will provide more specific coaching for those of you who will be using the curriculum. And it will give you a chance to share your experiences with each other also, maybe about how you adapted the curriculum to your own congregation and just what you're learning and doing. And just check on the UMFE website every once in a while for updates. And as I said, we will be keeping in touch with you by email. So this is pretty much the end of our time together. I hope that you are excited and energized about this curriculum as much as we are. And I want to thank you again on behalf of the Board of Ministry for Earth for your participation. And I hope you have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone. Wonderful job. Thank